I'd like now to welcome Katie Chavez-Cook. She's a registered nurse. She does education and research with Women's Health Services, and Marilyn Perryman, who's Director of Development and Marketing at Women's Health Services. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you both here. So well, you want to talk for just a moment about what is Women's Health Services?
Just really a quick, I think a lot of people know, but one exciting thing, Mary Charlotte, is thank you for having us, as we're celebrating our 35th anniversary. And so I've been in this community as a nonprofit serving women, children, and men for since 1973.
Women's Health Services serves men, ladies
yes.
and gentlemen. Okay.
We have all women providers. We have two nurse practitioners. We have we now have a psychiatrist on part-time, and we have mental health care. And so right now I'd say probably 10% are men that come to us, 15% children, and 75% are women. We do not do delivery. We do not do OB. We don't deliver children, but we
right.
do everything before and after. So half of who come to us are anyone in this community that needs health care. And we put them on sliding scales, or we work with their Medicaid and Medicare. And then the other half are people that come in with insurance. So... We are just so excited to celebrate 35 years, and we are really moving into being able to grow, and we're having wonderful programs now that we offer to the community, and we wanted to come and talk to you a little bit about them today.
Okay, well, so what are some of those community programs?
Well, the two I think we really wanted to talk about today were, first of all, a clinical trial that we're running. It's a trial to test a new medication for cold sore treatment, and also a new program for teens that we're working on with some of the physicians in the office, as well as Girls Inc., which I think a lot of people in the community know about Girls Inc. and the outreach that they do with girls in Santa Fe.
So a cold sore trial. So if you have a cold sore, you can actually get paid to come in and try out a medication?
Yeah, so that's a nice deal.
$100
Yeah, $100. $100 in your pocket for suffering your cold sore. It's what's considered a complementary medication. It's a zinc-based product. And the trial actually came to us through Dr. David Riley, who is the founder of the Integrative Medicine Institute here in Santa Fe. And he does a lot of research on alternative modalities and incorporating those modalities with Western medicine. And one of the trials that he's done with us before was a cold sore trial, and we're just testing a different medication now. And It's good. I think the ways that we come about it are first of all, through a commitment to evidence-based practice. Women's Health Services, as many providers, are always committed to evidence-based practice, looking at evidence that a modality actually works. And so Dr. Trott has always gotten us involved in research.
May I just say it's a blind study. So
it is a blind study.
You don't know if you're getting the medicine or just a placebo.
That's right. It's what's called a double blind study, so I don't know either. So
right.
you know, clients don't know, and I don't know what you get. But the other reason that I think that we found that it was an interesting thing to get involved in is that, especially in this healthcare climate today, medications are very expensive. It's one of the first healthcare costs that people are willing to forego in times of financial crunch. And often alternative modalities can be more affordable than, say, in the case of cold sores, antiviral treatments, which can be exceedingly expensive and sometimes unaffordable for people. And so
I love how they're called alternative when a lot of the time they're what your great grandmother did.
Isn't that great? And I think there's a push now to come back to those sorts of things, the things that are tried and true that we've used. And
it's funny, I was sick the other day. I did what I always do when I have a virus, which is squeeze the juice of a lime into a glass, mix some brown sugar with it, drink it down several times a day. It works. It goes away. And I was talking to a friend about that. She says, why does nobody study why it is that lime juice cures viruses? Nobody studies that.
Right.
Nobody studies a lot of things because you can't make it. You can't patent a lime.
Right. Well, that's true, but we can look at things like zinc, where you can't patent zinc per se, but you can patent or make medications that include it that, you know, you can put on the market and make them more accessible to people. But yeah, that's true. We should be going back to those things.
Definitely. So you're doing this cold sore study, and if people are interested in that, they can call 505-955-9405, and they can call any time of day and go forward with that. Now, you're also doing a project called Voices for Girls.
That's right. And this is just getting off the ground. This is a project that we're doing, as I said, in collaboration with Girls Inc. And what it is the goal is to increase health literacy, we'll call it, for teens. And ideally what we'll be doing is getting a small group of girls, ages about 12 to 14, who already attend programming at Girls Inc., to design and participate in a radio show once a week, related to really any health topic that's interesting to them.
Which will be on KSFR.
Yes, it will.
Will be on KSFR, that's right, on Saturday afternoons, Saturday mornings. And, you know, they're really excited about it, and I really am trying to let them lead, because I think that's really the important thing to keep them interested, that they're sort of leading the way. But right now they're really excited about talking about HIV. They're excited about talking about eating right and exercise, and they've got all kinds of ideas from doing game shows to writing songs and music appropriate to the topics. And just to get them, not just the girls participating, but also their listeners, their peers who will be listening, to just start talking about these issues that are important to them.
Now, when you, as a nurse at Women's Health, see teenage girls, what are their concerns, and how willing are they to actually open up and talk about their concerns in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, as with any population, I think their concerns are as diverse as they are. And it really depends on the girls, what their background is, and kind of what they're looking ahead to in their own futures as to what interests them. But largely they're interested in being fit, in being healthy, in what they eat and what they do in terms of activities. And a lot of them, of course, have questions about their sexual health and their sexual identity. In the doctor's office, we have not only limited time, but also, I think, depending on who they're with, you know, if they're with parents or their guardians, they don't always open up about certain things. In settings like this, where they're with their peers, they kind of encourage each other to talk about things, and they back each other up, and they challenge each other on various issues, and so that's part of why I'm really excited about doing more of this outreach. Even though I think it's wonderful, we reach about a couple hundred teens a year in the doctor's office, but I think going out into the community, in that setting, we have a little bit different interactions, and I think can be very meaningful for them. So,
like what? How is it different when you go out there?
Well, you know, we did a Dr. Thompson, who's one of our physicians, got us doing Bodyworks program, which is a program that helps teens learn how to eat well and exercise and that sort of thing. And I remember one of the girls, we had just discussed the calories and the sodium and all the yucky things in hamburgers, and everyone was kind of ooing and aahing and thinking about, gosh, should I eat those? And one girl said wholeheartedly, I just never eat hamburgers. And the girl sitting next to her said, yes, you do. You just happened last week. And she sheepishly agreed that, yes, she had, but no, I don't eat them very often. And so, you know, here she is projecting to me, for my benefit as well as for her own, you know, self-concept, that she wasn't doing something she shouldn't be doing. And her friend here challenging her to really say, you know, own up to what her habits were. And also this sort of, like, positive peer pressure to do better, to change that habit, or to look out for each other and...
Well, then telling, untruths mm-hmm. about your habits, that happens probably even more so where it comes to sexual stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's another huge issue with girls this age, is that they're really, as much as they just want all the information they can get, there's a lot of misperception out there. And they know that some of the things that they hear aren't true, and they do want clarity on that. They want to know what the truth...
What kind of things do they hear?
You know, it's funny. I think the same things come down the pipeline every generation, but, you know, things like, can you get pregnant in a swimming pool? And, you know, things like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Things that, you know, you probably had those same
for those
stories
teenagers
going
listening right now, no, you cannot get pregnant in a swimming pool.
Right.
Well.
Depends on what you're doing, I guess, in a swimming pool. But,
if you're having sex in a swimming pool, you can get pregnant.
Right.
But you can't get pregnant from swimming.
Swimming, right. Swimming with boys, right?
Right.
But things like that, you know, I think just the same sort of tales that always are spun. And
if I could just add something, we're hoping, Mary Charlotte, that you might help us with a little bit of just maybe a little training with Katie and the curriculum on how to, because they've never done a radio show before. We'll have Jewel Cabeza
DeVaca. How to do a radio show?
Yes.
We'll have Jewel Cabeza DeVaca you know, that works with us to do it.
But that's right.
She has all kinds of course times and presentations, and I do believe you said you'd be willing to.
Yes,
give us a
little
help.
To have a little conversation on how to do radio with, with these young women.
And we're also promoting this. The kids are going to have cards to promote their show to get the listenership.
Yeah,
and promote it. Is the target audience other young people?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're
boys
peers.
And girls.
They're primarily girls, but I think it's going to be applicable to anyone of that age group, and certainly we encourage everyone to listen, parents as well, because
right.
I think it'll be interesting for them to hear sort of how the girls are thinking about things and what's important to them. So.
It is indeed very important for. Well, that's another thing that I think is interesting and important, and we've talked about this in many different contexts on this program. Is the extent to which, especially in this particular culture, there's many subcultures within American culture, but there's a kind of generational divide between parents and children that you don't have in like a lot of places in Latin America.
Sure.
Where, you know, your children, parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents are all really of the same culture.
Sure.
They talk about things more openly.
Maybe even living under the same roof.
Maybe living under the same roof. Mm-hmm. But somebody was saying the other day, I don't like to go into the baking company because my daughter goes there.
Right.
Whereas every place else in the world, you'd go there.
Because your daughter's there.
That's a good point.
No, it's interesting. And I think part of having the radio show and having sort of a media involvement is that it doesn't necessarily have to be just that they're listening to their kids, they're listening to other people's kids, and I think that sort of helps that communication gap as well. So
that's happening. There's also a heart seminar sponsored by, now it's called Christus St. Vincent's Regional Medical Center, St. Vincent's Hospital, and Women's Health Services. What's going on with that, Marilyn?
Well, this is Heart Health Week, and in fact, everybody's supposed to be wearing red and really celebrating. We do this every year.
Valentine's Day related.
Yeah. It's Heart and Vascular Seminar. It's a free seminar. We have limited space. It fills up very fast. But we have an all-day, not all-day, starts at 7:30 if you want to come in and have
7:30 in the morning.
If you would like to have complimentary cholesterol check and blood lipids and blood pressure and vascular, well, the vascular, you'll get a certificate. You need to fast for 12 hours before. And then right afterwards, the hospital serves a heart-healthy breakfast. That's just wonderful. And then we start with a lecture.
What's a heart-healthy breakfast?
Oh,
it's a cheeseburger?
Listen, they make something so nice. Last year, they made buckwheat, waffles, vegetarian sausage, egg beaters, omelet. and we're going to have some wonderful speakers, and we have lots of time for question and answer. So if you don't want to do the blood testing and don't want to fast, then the session starts, the classes start at 9, the session, and the breakfast starts at 7:30 to 9. But
and that's actually on Valentine's Day, Saturday.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm, Saturday morning. We have Paula Devitt, who's going to talk about she works with diabetes programs, and she's going to talk about how to be heart healthy. Heart risk factors, Dr. Mario Pacheco. We're going to have a lot of time for Q&A. And then Diana Gonzalez Pacheco is also going to really work with some dietitian issues. Vascular imaging, which is a really interesting thing that we're doing now. We have Dr. Thomas Burdick that will do a lecture on that. And then last will be managing stress and exercising at home. Monica Gallegos, who's a clinical exercise physiologist. And it's just a wonderful day, and if you want to attend, you need to pre-register, and if you don't have a pen, that's okay. The number to call is 955-9493, but you can call Women's Health Services for anything we spoke about today. If you didn't get the phone number, just call Women's Health Services.
Now, heart disease is something that affects both men and women, and we have to start thinking about this in our teenage years, as Katie was talking about.
It's the number one it's the number one reason women die. It's
more
it
so
surpasses
than breast cancer.
Yes, way past breast cancer now. You know, all the work that's been done on breast cancer over the last 30 years has really made a difference. I get cold chills thinking about it, that embracing it and educating and helping. But women present heart attacks, and this is Katie's area, but can you tell a little bit about how they present differently
they
than
do,
men?
They do, yeah. Women definitely present. They don't necessarily get the classic chest pressure and left arm pain. They'll get jaw pain or just generally feel icky, and it'll progress from there.
And they're not supposed to take the aspirin like men. And so all
Is
these women
right?
were out believing that they were supposed to take these aspirin, and actually it can be quite dangerous depending on
their
what
history.
Your health... Your
mm-hmm, their health history.
Katie, what are women supposed to do to, first of all, learn what... heart disease symptoms are and to prevent it?
Well, this is a wonderful place to start is a seminar like this, but there are actually a lot of fantastic resources out there, and the Women's Health, what is it, the womenshealth.gov website has a wonderful resource there on symptoms and management and prevention of heart disease
you
for can women.
Also go to our website and we have those links.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, our website does too.
Just for the sake of our listeners right mm-hmm. now, what are the typical signs of a coming heart attack for a woman?
Well, they can get that chest pressure where people just, you know, we use the description, it feels like an elephant sitting on your chest, just that's extraordinary pressure, pain. Sometimes it can feel almost like an acid reflux pain. It can feel like a epigastric pain and vice versa. So sometimes that can be, people feel like they're having a heart attack and it ends up being just a acid reflux sort of a situation.
What we call heartburn.
Heartburn, exactly, for that reason. Uh-huh. But women, can have pain in their back. They can have pain, like I said, in their jaw. And just feeling generally fatigued, waves of nausea along with that. It's typically something very, you're going to feel out of the ordinary, but not necessarily that straightforward chest pain.
Katie Chavez-Cook is a nurse at Women's Health Services in Santa Fe, Maryland. Perryman is the Director of Development and Marketing there. And the number at Women's Health Services...
It's 988-8869.
Thank you very much. And they're also on the web. Thank you both so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a little break right now. And when we come back, Linda Siegel will be with us with today's legislative update.